Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and today, after weeks and weeks of not being here, we are thrilled to be joined by author and educator Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be back, and I'm very much looking forward to talking about a just transition to a green economy, but exploring ideas of whether we are approaching it the right way. So tune in.
Well, great to have you back because we have some serious big brain ideas to try and think about.
Oh my goodness.
This is a large scope kind of question, a large question that we hope to narrow down to a discussable topic. So anyway, Mariah, let me paint a picture for you of what the issues are. Right now in Congress, there is a battle going on about infrastructure. And President Joe Biden originally proposed an infrastructure package that had lots and lots of climate-related stuff in it, and $2 trillion in a big roundabout, has since gone where there's been a deal with the Republican Party, and now there's an infrastructure bill that doesn't have very much climate stuff in it, and there's a reconciliation bill that does have more climate stuff in it, and a big debate about whether or not, you know, how this stuff's all going to get passed. But we're in a circumstance where we might be able to have some, at long last, some serious action on climate change, in particular things like building electric vehicles, which will give us jobs in Michigan and make Joe Biden president again in 2024, right? But once we start talking about this, addressing climate change, what we get into is this question of where are we headed? I mean, what's the end game? We talk about a just transition, by which we mean a transition from a fossil fuel economy to a clean energy economy that brings everyone along, in quotation marks, right? And that we're going to get to some future happy state where we're running on clean energy and everyone's happy. But I would submit that the specifics of exactly where we want to be in 2030 or 2035 are not well defined or even examined. All right, Mariah, would you agree with that? I mean, just your gut says, I mean, we know we want to go towards something clean, but we don't have a great idea of what it might be, huh?
Yeah, and worse than that, I think some of the pathways we're going down might get us into similar trouble to where we are now, right? Everything's a supply chain and everything has a life cycle. And being thoughtful about those things is critical, right? But it's critical for many reasons, not least of which is this idea of a just transition, which Climate Justice Alliance puts out some good, sort of has defined that. It's saying, you know, we need to navigate our way towards a world where we live in just relationships with each other and with the earth. And so, you know, at the expense of focusing on just the earth, at the expense of some of the livelihoods that are around that is kind of, I think, what we're going to explore tonight, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that for the way I would say it is that we all know, or everyone has this gut feeling that we are heading to a cleaner economy. That's where we want to go. But one conception of that, very loosely stated, is that everybody gets an electric car and we put up a lot of windmills and we shut down all the coal plants and life goes on just the way it is now, except that we're driving electric cars and we have windmills, right? You still have the same sort of social relationships. We have the same traffic jams. It's just that we changed the least amount we can in order to have less carbon dioxide in the air, right? I mean, and that's one way of going to say, oh, we'll have a technical solution. We'll invent ways to take carbon dioxide out of the air, yada, yada, yada. Just keep marching forward. I mean, I think a second conception of what a green transition, you know, a transition would be is to ask things like, are we all going to have high-speed electric trains instead of airplanes? We're going to stop flying and start using trains, right? We're going to have free mass transit. We're going to change our cities so that we all have bicycles to ride around in, right? Are we all going to try and live in sort of this high-density lifestyle so that we don't need cars to drive around in from the suburbs? Right? That's the second kind of conception of where we're headed, right? And a third conception is almost a more moral, spiritual thing, where I think the word, I'm not, my Spanish is not very good. I think it's buen vivir, which means a good life. How is it? What do you say?
Buen vivir.
Buen vivir. It's you have a good life, but it's not at the expense of someone else, of someone else's good life. And that is a much more aggressive and dramatic kind of conception. Right. I mean, are there any, Mariah, do you have any other sort of conceptions of where we're all headed that people might have in their head that they haven't fully examined yet? Or do those three cover it?
I mean, I think, you know, I hear a lot of talk about like regenerative economies and circular economies. And I think there's a lot of ideas floating around about the importance of sort of rethinking our economic system, because that's really what's done us in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I also, it's hard, like, you know, individual actions versus the system change. I'm always very pro system change versus individual actions, because I think that the system's broken, and the system is what's causing a lot of the problems. But, you know, there are individual choices that we have to make. And, you know, electric vehicles is one of the directions that you right now is being touted as sort of the right choice for the environment, right? I mean,
it's kind of a mix of systemic and personal choices, right? I mean, you have the availability of this thing, the infrastructure, and you choosing to use it. I mean, it seems to me that we are building a future willy-nilly, and in some sense, we haven't fully thought it out. Because if we want a circular economy, you know, which I think, what is it? The donut economy, right?
Donut economics by Kate Raworth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you got to be conscious about that if you want to get there. That doesn't happen by accident, right? And so I guess, having said that we're headed down some path to a different way of life with clean energy, it's very hard to get your head around all of the implications of that, right? It's such a big question. Like, okay, you say donut economy. My God, what does that mean? It's an enormous, enormous, enormous undertaking to change the whole world. I thought, and I think it is useful to try and narrow down the focus from where is the world headed in terms of clean energy, to narrow it down to a more specific question where you can see sort of tangible pluses and minuses of every decision that you're talking about, or the pluses and minuses of the conflicts that are inherent in executing a particular philosophy, which then allows you, it's kind of a template to step back later on and look at the big picture. Where are we going all told? And so, Mariah, guess what? I have an example. I have something that I think it is that would allow us to take a razor to the question of, you know, where are we going, and cut it up a little bit and get to something more specific. And that topic, that idea, has to do with the atomic element lithium, which of course is very important for batteries, right? I'm sure you've got a lithium battery in your cell phone, and I bet in your electric vehicle, right?
I do. And I have to say, as we're about to sort of talk about, I, you know, being an electric vehicle owner, my EV kind of made me feel smug for a little while, but now I'm moving more towards feeling like a slug after I've read some of this stuff, some of these articles, because there are some serious problems with lithium and how it's sourced and the damage that it's doing to not just the earth, but to each other, right? To people, right? You know, going back to that idea of a just transition, is we have to have just relationships with each other and with the earth. And some of the lithium mining does not take both of those things into consideration. Doesn't take either of those into consideration. And that's tough.
Question. Oh yeah.
I mean,
because you immediately bump. So we there's lots of background information on the question of lithium mining. But you immediately bump into this question of, everyone wants an electric vehicle. Everyone wants the jobs. Politically speaking, this is the right path to get America going. Say, oh, we're all going to have
get
EV.
Get us off of fossil fuels. That's the major pollution we're dealing with right now.
Right. So no one can, generally, I mean, electric vehicles are good. This is a good path. This is a good thing that's happening. But we start to look, and there are questions, right? I mean, that's and so grown-up people can look at these things and say, yeah, there are issues here that we have to figure out, and that's what we want to do. So yeah. So let me just say, let's just back up a second and say, so lithium is this. You can take lithium for certain mental disorders, right? It's stable. It's a wonderful. It's an atomic element, right? It is like copper and iron. It is, has medicinal uses, but it also turns out to be wildly good for making electrical batteries, which is why every cell phone and EV has a lithium ion battery in it. And the buzzword is these are lithium chemistries that, you know, various kinds of combinations of lithium with other things allow you to build these really cool batteries. And why are the batteries important? Again, I think most of the people listening to the show understand that batteries, both for electric vehicles and for the grid, are critical for storing the intermittent electricity that you get from solar panels and wind turbines, right? You have to have some way to smooth out that production. And these lithium batteries give you that, and the lithium batteries demand the atomic element lithium. And of course, given the fact that President Biden has this idea that we're all going to have electric vehicles, and that he drove the Ford F-150, right? So this huge Ford F-150 electric battery.
All electric.
Cool, yeah. Really cool. He drove that. The demand for lithium is skyrocketing, right? It is going through the roof and is expected to go up something like a factor of 10 over the next 10 or 15 years as we transition away. So the demand for lithium proper is really high. And it's actually interesting. I mean, let me just say one other thing that's interesting. I'll put up a link to Dave Roberts, who we have quoted fondly many times in the show. He now has his own Substack news reporting called DR Volts. But he did this long and involved set of podcasts about lithium ion chemistry and the manufacture of lithium ion batteries, and how basically we've already locked into using lithium as the chemistry of choice for making batteries, and that any future discovery of a vanadium chemistry or some other weird chemistry is probably going to have to be very similar to the lithium, just because of the manufacturing techniques that Elon Musk is using in the mega factory to produce all those electric vehicle batteries. But because the demand for lithium is skyrocketing, one of the things that President Biden has done is to call for a supply chain review. I think, Mariah, you mentioned that, right? The supply chain for this stuff. He has said, look, we know we're going to need more. He told us, sent his various people out to study the supply chain. What's interesting about the lithium supply chain, right? So the lithium comes from, we'll talk about where the lithium comes from, but as of right now, China controls a lot of those places. China has been making moves for the last 10 years to control the raw lithium deposits around the world. And so you already have cooking geopolitical tension with China over this incredibly important material, lithium, that we all need to have in our shiny new electric vehicles. And you can almost see that, you know, these supplies of lithium oftentimes in South America could be the equivalent, a future equivalent of the Mideast, right, where the great powers are fighting over it. And again, you come back to, is that the question you ask is, do we want to be building a world where the United States and China are fighting over basically colonial property in Peru so they can extract the lithium so we can all have batteries? I mean, it's just like, really? Is that where we're going? I ask you, Mariah, is that where we're going?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's right. That's the problem. That's the problem is that it's, you know, it's a mineral that has to be mined, and it can be inductive of wars, right? That can be something that kind of it spurs those, that kind of discord. Mm-hmm. But then in addition to that, it's the pollution that's coming from it is significant in that, you've got devastating harm to the environment and then to the people that are on it. And there's a big sort of standoff happening right now in Nevada, right? In the Paiute yeah. land yeah. in Nevada, yeah. where the Thacker Pass, where there, you know, is a sort of people saying you can't do this to our land. You can't put all this destruction and pollution, you know, here, anywhere really, but especially not here. Right.
It's a fascinating question that the, because of the Biden presidency, and it actually, but in the Trump presidency, there was the moves were all afoot, but the effort to secure lithium sources inside the United States has led to this basically a white gold, or, you know, a sort of a new kind of gold rush. Everyone wants to get the lithium out of the ground. There's a place in Nevada called Thacker Pass, which also has an Indian name that I won't try and reproduce right now. But the Thacker Pass is a place, a beautiful, pristine place that is now under the gun to be extracted. There's two points I would make about the mining in Nevada. One is that this is called hard rock mining, where you go and you dig the lithium sort of ore out of the dirt, and the lithium is like 3 or 4% of the dirt. You pick it all up, you put it into a chemical pond, and you kind of boil off the lithium, and you're left with like 99% refuge of damaging stuff. So there's this very damaging process for extracting it in hard rock, but also the United States, the lithium mining goes, the rules that apply go back to 1872. So that if you want to, for example, do fracking on national land, you have to go through an environmental review process, right? If you want to do fracking. But it turns out if you're doing what's called hard rock mining, which is what this lithium stuff is, all you have to do is go literally put a stake in the ground and you own it and nobody can stop you on wow. federal ground. And it's like a shockingly bad way to run policy in the 21st century. But that's the rules that these guys are playing under. And so there are lots of efforts to slow down what's going on out there in Thacker Pass. We will be having an interview with one of the people that's encamped at Thacker Pass to get his take on, you know, what's going on in that particular instance, right? But I mean, that's right. an example of like nasty, potentially nasty things that could happen inside yeah. the United States.
Right. Yeah. They're trucking in a whole bunch of sulfur, right? And, you know, have to figure out how to, it's like the Empire State Building times two, you know, in terms of the like massive sulfur that they're bringing in. Well, it's annually, but yeah, okay. I mean, you know, and then that's got to go somewhere, right? I mean, yeah. and all the, so it's, there's a lot of nasty stuff that comes.
I mean, the other method for doing the mining of lithium to just get the lithium is called brine extraction, I think. And that is a method that's used in South America. So what they do in sort of the highlands of Peru and Chile, a place I think it's called the Atacama Plateau.
Atacama Desert. Yeah, I was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was visiting there when the pandemic hit. It's a beautiful, it is a just stunningly beautiful place. And the birds down there are just magnificent. And they're really? Super rich biodiversity of birds. But it's also the driest place. I think the only place drier in the world is like Antarctica or something like that. So really? it's incredibly dry. And, you know, they're trying to do this mining down there, and it takes so much water for the mining that they're pulling that water away from all of the indigenous peoples and communities that live down there. That's a big problem.
My understanding is that they go to this desert place, they put a drill in the ground, and then they pump up the briny water from underneath the desert, put that into big drying flats. Right. And so it slowly dries out. And what you end up with is lithium salts. Right. And plus all the other badness that's left over as it's been pumped out of the ground. And that this is all being run by sort of corporations that don't have much respect for the people who own the land, much less the birds that the biodiversity you spoke of. Right, Mariah?
Right.
So I mean, those are just, there are several others, but those are just two examples of the kinds of potential damage. And so again, what we should note that we will be putting up a podcast, because we're going to have a series of podcasts that are related to this lithium issue. I have another podcast with a gentleman from an organization called Earthworks, who are working very hard to identify ways to minimize the damage of these mining operations around the world. And that's quite an interesting conversation about what where all that's going. Yeah. But I guess the question then comes around to the following thing. This is the crux of the discussion that I think that climate hawks need to have, is that, is it right or fair for, say, the policy that Mr. President Biden has embarked on, where everyone gets an EV, is that right or fair if the cost of that policy is local damage to communities, typically marginalized communities, where the lithium comes from, right? I mean, that comes back to this whole question of where is the transition, the great transition that we're all embarked on, right? You boil it all down and say, here's one instance. You can all have electric vehicles, but you have to sacrifice the Peruvian highlands, right? Is that what you want? Right.
Yeah.
It's a
super tough question, because, like, of course it's not right. We're just jumping, you know, what do you call it? Like jumping out of the pot and into the fire. If we just start down this road, that's going to have just as many injustices as the current path we have with fossil fuels to the earth and to each other, injustices to the earth and to each other. And so, you know, it does force us to think long and hard about, are we going down the right path? And I've really struggled with that question, because to me, you know, electrify everything and then switch to renewables has always been like the climate solution.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've been chanting for years now.
Yeah.
Electrify everything and, you know, we'll all have batteries and it's all going to be good.
Right. But this makes you pause and really think, like, wow, maybe that's not the right pathway. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it was Max Wilbert who we'll be talking to my mind, put it most bluntly. He said that most of the people of the world will never have an electric vehicle, right? Probably the majority of the people of the world will never be in a vehicle, will never see an electric vehicle, much less be in one, right? And that owning an electric vehicle is a privilege that the vast majority of North Americans assume is a right. Right? And that once you put it in that, saying that, you know, your electric vehicle is a privilege, you don't deserve it, right? Other people deserve their home. You don't necessarily deserve a car. That really shook me up. I was like, wait a minute. That forces a rethinking of so many other big questions about what's the green transition going to look like, and how do we build such a thing that's more fair? It's a tough question.
Yeah. Right? And the only small thing I take some sort of consolation and hope in is the concept of Earthworks put out a report that talks about the significant potential for recycling to offset some of the demand for the lithium. So there's the good news about this lithium is that it's not sort of like a one and done. You can put it back again. You know, I think the numbers I saw is that recycling end-of-life batteries can reduce the mineral demand for lithium by about 25%. So that's good news. Also when you get a lithium battery out of a car, it still has plenty of energy left to do something for something else, right? So it's not like it's done once it's out of the car and you just have to throw it away. So there's some good news there.
It's an interesting question. You go back to the question of a supply chain, that if you want to have mass recycling of the lithium in electric vehicle batteries, you need to set those systems up early, right? Because I read one article that said, you know, if every car maker has a different kind of battery, then the economics of recycling them becomes much harder, and that there's a whole bunch of things you need to set up to enforce a recycling regime And the time to set that up is now, right? And that's that again, this is the discussion we have. Where we all, I imagine we want a world where every lithium ion that comes out of the ground is used multiple times. It's not as you say, one and done. But how do we get there, right?
Yeah, right. It's super important to think about that. And, you know, you hope that they're right. I mean, so with the new plans that Biden has put out, let's hope this will spur innovation, right? It will spur sort of the demand for EVs, which will then encourage people to think about how to make better EVs, how to make EVs that don't use lithium or that, you know, right? So,
well, it's an interesting question, is it? Because I saw one thing that said, one way to use less lithium is to mandate a maximum battery size and have more charging stations, right? So now your battery is physically smaller, uses less lithium. You have to recharge more often, but it's kinder to the planet, right? And again,
and to people who
in the people
live
who
in the mining areas.
One of the other podcasts that we'll be posting in this series of several podcasts about the question of lithium has to do with the philosophy. And I just find it interesting, Roy. I mean, the question of is sort of a Machiavellian question, right? Does the ends justify the means, right? So that's what was his name, first name? Machiavelli was Nicholas Machiavelli, right? I mean, he said, yeah, the ends justify the means. If you're going to succeed and have a good government, you can be a rat fink and kill people on the way up because you're going to do good things at the end, right? Not everyone agrees with that philosophy. And you can go in an entirely different direction and say that the means that you use to get to the end, okay, in the instance here of the end being we're going to have a green economy, then the means, which is lithium mining, has to also be green. It's the same thing, right? And that's a whole philosophical question with like that where there's lots of other input from other disciplines and things to think about. And so that's also a question of that is raised by this lithium idea, which then connects back to where is the big just transition going? I don't know.
It's all important to think about, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, dear listener, is that over the next few weeks, we'll be putting up different podcasts. We'll try and coordinate an informative name so you can pick them out. But podcasts about lithium, about different aspects of the lithium issue as a microcosm of the massive question that we face about what kind of society are we building? Right. I mean, this is a simpler way to kind of look at some of the questions, pick at the edges of where we all going at breakneck pace, in terms of an energy transition. And so please look for that. What I will do is to put up links. In fact, we'll put up links to most of the stuff we talked about tonight. We'll probably be just dumping links into various other podcast because there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot to think about. Once you turn the rock over, you say, oh my God, there's so much more information here than I appreciated. We'll put up links on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have an idea about how to use lithium or what we should be talking about, send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net, right? podcast@massclimateaction.net, all one word. Let us know what we ought to be thinking about. Of course, you're listening to this on your smartphone using Stitcher, etc. Please tell all of your friends to find us on their favorite modern podcast distribution app on their smartphones. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future. We believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan. I say that every week, but I mean, you start to think about it, it's not so easy to do. That uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. Well, Mariah, thank you so much for coming back. I'm really grateful that you've returned from your travels and are with us again. It's good to see you.
Good to be here.
And we will, thanks to everyone for listening. Keep your ears open for these lithium podcasts. I hope you find them interesting. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Very cool.